Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Skipper Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prakhar Porwal from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hello everyone. Welcome to Skipper Limited's 4Q FY24 earnings call. On the management side today, we have with us Mr. Sharan Bansal, Director of the company, Mr. Shivshankar Gupta, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Aditya Dujari, General Manager of Finance and Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir, for your opening remarks.
Thank you, Prakhar. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for your continued interest in Skipper. Before we delve into our operational financial highlights, I would like to emphasize that any forward-looking statements made during the call should be viewed in light of the risks facing our industry and company. Now, let's review some key operational financial highlights compared to previous year's quarter. I am delighted to report that Skipper achieved its best-ever revenue quarter, reaching rupees 1,153 crore compared to rupees 657 crore in the previous year's quarter, representing a remarkable growth of 76%. This exceptional performance was driven by strong results across our engineering and infrastructure segments, while maintaining a healthy operating EBITDA margin of 9.4%. Segmental revenue breakup revealed significant achievements. Engineering revenue reached an all-time high of rupees 701 crore, up by 41% from the previous year quarter, while polymer revenue stood at 103 crore, and infrastructure segment revenue soared to rupees 349 crore, marking a remarkable growth of 3,034%. Our quarter four engineering export sales reached rupees 198.7 crore, constituting 28% of overall engineering segment revenue, with year-to-date export sales totaling rupees 635.6 crore, contributing significantly to our revenue growth. In the infrastructure segment, we achieved our best-ever quarterly revenue, fueled by robust execution in BSNL and other T&D projects. We anticipate this momentum to continue into the next quarter. Now, moving on to our quarterly financial performance, reported consolidated EBITDA increased to rupees 108.6 crore, with operating margin standing at 9.4% for the quarter. Engineering segment EBITDA margin reached 11.6%, reflecting our focus on executing better quality contracts and expanding our international business. Going forward, we expect to maintain consistent margin performance in the engineering segment, supported by our strategic initiatives, while the polymer and infrastructure segments will continue to benefit from rationalizing fixed costs over a larger revenue base. Our management remains focused on bottom-line improvement, with consolidated PBT increasing to rupees 47.6 crore and PAT reaching rupees 25.2 crore for the current quarter. Our 12-month annual period performance highlights were as follows: revenue for FY24 surged to rupees 3,282 crore, exceeding our guidance of 25%, while maintaining margins at 9.7%. Engineering business segment revenue grew by a remarkable 46%, while polymer business revenue increased by 11%. Polymer sales volume witnessed a substantial increase, reaching approximately 32,000 tons compared to approximately 25,000 tons in the previous year period, registering a growth of 30%. Consolidated PBT and PAT saw significant improvements, with PBT reaching rupees 128.5 crores and PAT reaching rupees 81.7 crores, reflecting a growth of 157% and 129% respectively compared to previous year period. Our commitment to financial discipline is evident, with finance cost as a percentage of sales improving to 4.7% compared to 5.2% in the previous year period, and net working capital cycle improving to 88 days against 131 days in March 23. Order book and inflow. During the quarter, company secured significant size domestic contracts from PGCIL and international T&D projects, contributing to a total inflow of 1,141 crores. Year to date, the company secured orders exceeding ₹4,286 crores, marking the highest in company history for a given year. Our current order book stands at an all-time high of ₹6,215 crores, well diversified across sectors and segments. With an order book to engineering and infra segment sales ratio of 2.2 times FY24 sales, we have revenue visibility for the next 2 to 3 years. The vibrant domestic T&D environment aligns with Skipper's commitment to leverage India's transmission sector growth. While the government focus on scaling renewable grid infrastructure and improving electrification, Skipper is poised to support this growth. Our diversification into telecom, railway electrification, water EPC and drip irrigation further strengthens our revenue stream. The tender pipeline remains deep, with the current bidding pipeline at an all-time high of ₹16,730 crores, reflecting strong opportunities in both domestic and international markets. We are in advanced stages of negotiation to secure sizable international and domestic contracts. In conclusion, Skipper Limited continues to deliver strong operational and financial performance, driven by our focus on execution excellence, strategic initiatives, and prudent financial management. We remain optimistic about the future and are confident in our ability to create long-term value for our stakeholders. Thank you, and I am happy to take your questions now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star at 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and 2. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dhruv Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
I am audible, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Mr. Dhruv, please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations on the best ever quarter, sir. So my first question is, sir, there has been a huge fall in the gross level margins over year on year and over quarter on quarter, sir. That is, it has been fallen to 21% in quarter 4 FY24 from 36% in quarter 3 FY24. So can you please explain me the reasons for this change, sir? That is there any one-off items in the cost of goods sold or something else, sir?
Actually, our margins our margins need to be seen on a 12-month basis, and we have delivered consistent EBITDA margins. Last year, for a 12-month period, our EBITDA was 9.7%, and it is the same 9.7% for this 12-month period also. See, quarter-on-quarter margins can be misleading depending on the quality of the contract being executed. So, honestly, on an annual basis, I believe we have delivered consistent EBITDA margins on a much higher revenue base.
Sir, if I compare on the annualized basis, I'm just basically talking about this gross profit margin, sir, not just EBITDA margin. If I compare the 12 months also, sir, it has been falling from 36% to 24%, sir. So, what was the reason, sir?
I'm not very sure where you are getting this number of 36 and 24, sir.
Sir, if I deduct cost of goods sold from the sales, sir, then we will get the gross profit, sir. So that's what the calculation I'm basically...
That's not a correct measure to see the company's performance, sir, because the cost of goods sold may be varying because of various factors. It may be due to project sales, and also you have to look at the labor, stores and other project expenses. So that is not the correct measure to see the gross profit of the company.
So, sir, what was the reason in this quarter? Sir, can you please highlight? What was the reason for the increase in cost of goods sold, sir, in this quarter, sir, particularly?
Particularly cost of goods sold. Look, like I said, you have to look at both the amounts together, which is cost of material consumed, the change in inventory of finished goods, and as well as the labor stores and other project expenses. So if you look at all three of them combined, previous year average was about 72%. This year is about 76%. But then maybe it is getting compensated on the other expense side, where the other expenses were 14.1% previously on the previous year, and it is about 10% in this year. So which is why the EBITDA margins are the correct margins to see, and more so the PBT margin for really seeing what the actual profitability of the company is.
Okay, fair enough. Sir, the net working capital days has been brought down to 88 days from 131 days. So can we expect going forward this kind of working capital days to remain on this level only, sir?
Between a net working capital of 90 to 100 days, we believe that this is should be consistently maintained, and obviously the effort will be to improve upon that.
Okay. So, sir, there has been increase in the long-term borrowing. Is it for the purpose of this capital expansion, the capacity expansion that you are doing? Is my understanding correct, sir? And further, we will not be requiring any further borrowing for the said capacity expansion?
No, company will use a combination of internal accruals and further long-term borrowing to fund our CAPEX plans. The previous long-term debt which has been taken has been towards debottlenecking and optimization CAPEX. For this year CAPEX, we have not yet planned about how much debt to raise.
Okay. So sir, by what time this capacity to live in, and after that, what kind of orders the company is able to capture, and what would be the peak revenue post this expansion, sir? Can you please highlight on that, sir?
In terms of revenue, as I said, as we mentioned in the investor presentation, that even on the enhanced, earlier in the beginning of the year, we had guided for a 25% CAGR growth. However, this year we have delivered close to about a 66% against our guidance of 25%. Now, even on this enhanced revenue base of approximately 3,300 crores, we are maintaining our revenue guidance or revenue growth guidance of 25% for the next 2 years at least. So in terms of capacity, currently we are at about 3 lakh tons of capacity, and with this year, the CAPEX that we will do, we will end the year with a capacity of 3,75,000 tons.
Sir, it would be live by quarter 4 or quarter 3, sir?
Some part of it will come alive by quarter, maybe towards end of quarter 3 or quarter 4. And the full capacity will be available from next year onwards.
Okay, by FY26, we can expect to fully go on.
Yes, but also looking at the opportunity, further capacity expansion next year also.
Okay. Seeing the demand outlook, right, sir? So, just on the question on that, sir, as I can see in the presentation that you have mentioned, the order bidding pipeline, in the order bidding pipeline, there has been almost 65% bidding from exports. So, going forward, do you see a huge opportunity in the export only, or like you can see from the domestic as well? As you can see, the government has been spending a lot on the infrastructure space. So what would be your focus area, sir, whether it would be on domestic markets or it would be on the international front, sir?
Yeah, it's a good question. This year also looking at the strong focus of the government on infra spending and the good number of projects under the TBCB mechanism being bidded in transmission field, we do expect very, very robust order inflows on the domestic side. However, the domestic pipeline looks shorter because the domestic tenders tend to be more short term and they get decided faster. But international projects, they have a long lead time, you know, from bidding to finalization, which is why the international pipeline always appears a little larger. Our focus continues to be on both areas, domestic and international. But yes, we do expect that majority of the orders this year also will be coming from domestic.
But sir, as you can see, the bigger of the bidding pipeline is from the...
I request you to return to the question queue for follow-up questions.
Just on the this same question, other than just last in this question. So, sir, as you can see, there has been almost 65% of the bidding pipeline from export. So, we can expect like going forward, there will be an order inflow from the export orders and you will be executing the export orders more than the domestic orders. So, is that correct or like is there something else as well, sir?
No, I would, like I said, the international order bidding pipeline always appears larger because the time for finalization is longer. Domestic tend to get finalized faster, which is why the pipeline appears smaller. However, we do expect that over the overall order inflow of this year, we expect close to about a 75-25 mix where 75% will come from domestic and 25% of the orders will come from exports.
Okay. We join back the queue, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Deepak Purswani from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. And congratulations for pretty strong execution during
this quarter and for the year.
So firstly, in terms of the BSNL order, how much was the revenue booked during FY24 year as a whole? And how should we see trajectory going ahead in FY25?
For BSNL order, we have executed close to about 1,000 crores in this financial year that just ended. And in the coming year, we expect a revenue of close to about 700 crores from BSNL project.
Okay. And secondly, sir, in terms of the engineering, in terms of the overall guidance, since we have mentioned we would be looking out for the CAGR of 25% over the next 2 years, could you please break up in terms of the segment-wise, especially in the engineering product, where I think from the capacity point of view, we are running at a high capacity level. What is the CAGR we are looking at out? And also, second is the polymer business. If you can throw some light on this business as well, because year as a whole, our growth has been 11%, and in Q4, actually it has come down by 30%. So if you can throw some light on both of these segments, that would be really helpful.
I don't have the guidance segment-wise readily available with me. We may share that at a later time with you. Aditya Dujari, if you can get in touch with, he would be able to share that with you. And in terms of capacity utilization, we are still at about roughly a 70% capacity utilization. So there is some opportunity to drive more revenue from the existing capacity in the current financial year itself. And towards the end of the year, we should be getting the benefit of our enhanced capacity, which we are now going to be taking up the capex for.
Okay. And sir, in terms of the margin as a whole from the FY25 perspective, how should we look on the consolidated level margin? Should we expect margin to expand from here at the current level or it will remain at the current similar level to the FY24?
Go 10% plus in the current financial year. However, any margin between 9.5% to 10%, we are quite comfortable as a company. And we believe that more and more that PBT margin will be driven better because of the higher revenue base leading to lower finance costs and depreciation costs.
Okay. So, sir, coming to the interest expenses, I mean, how should we look from the FY25 perspective? Because this year, I think, especially in the second half, interest expenses tend to be, it seems to be a little on the higher side. I mean, going ahead, how should we look into as a percentage of revenue for the FY25 year as a whole?
I believe right now we have done very well this year in bringing down the interest cost from earlier 5.2, I believe, 5.25 to 4.7 approximately. So certainly I think in the coming year, anywhere between 4.4 to 4.5% would be our target to take the finance cost as a percentage of revenue.
Okay. And also, sir, could you please also throw some light in terms of the fund-based limit and non-fund-based limits and how much is currently utilized?
In terms of fund and non-fund, non-fund itself is not 21. About 2100 crores is fund, non-fund. About non-fund limit is about 2155 and fund base is about 525.
And how much of
utilization is about 60 odd percent.
In both the fund and non-fund both? Or?
Non-fund is more. Non-fund is close to about 80 to 90% and fund base is generally 60%.
Okay. So, sir, from the bidding strategy point of view going ahead, I mean, how should we look in because our non-fund base is currently at 80 to 90%?
How should you, I didn't understand the question.
I mean, in terms of the announcement of the non-fund limit in future.
Well, that will be based on the company's requirement and the kind of projects we expect to get. So I believe that that will be really based on the company's working and requirement from time to time.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that management is able to address questions from all participants in conference, please limit your questions to strictly only 2 questions per participant. Should have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the question queue. Next question is from the line of Balasubramaniam from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking my questions. Sir, one of tower infra provider have surpassed more than around 2 lakh towers. And we have seen strongest tower additions based on increase in 5G rollouts and rural expansions. And what's your thought process on the telecom side for tower additions and what kind of demand you are experiencing?
Yes, on the telecom side, certainly telecom makes up close to about 30% of our overall order book. And we are seeing quite a lot of vibrancy in this sector. We believe that operators which were not so active earlier, for example, BSNL and Vodafone, both will be quite active in the coming years. Because their network expansion has probably been, they haven't invested so much in their network over the last 4 or 5 years compared to other operators like Jio and Airtel. So certainly there is a good opportunity. Vodafone FPO success is also a big positive for the sector. So I believe that with the upcoming expansion of both BSNL and Vodafone, as well as the ongoing expansion of Jio, we should look at a good demand growth in the telecom tower space.
Okay. So out of 6,215 crore order book, what would be that breakup in terms of engineering and other breakups, like polymer infra and engineering breakup?
No, so we don't have any order book on the polymer side because that is sold to our retail network. And in terms of the overall order book breakup, we have just a minute. Oh, sorry, exports is 13% and total domestic is 87%, out of which T&D is 53% and non-T&D is about 34%.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, sir. Hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, hi. So a lot of my questions have been answered. So just wanted to ask, sir, with our order book of like around 6,200 crores, what would be our execution timeline for that, sir?
Normally, the execution timeline is between 2 to 2.5 years.
Okay, sir. And sir, we have a great pipeline for us. So what kind of like win rate are we seeing for that, sir?
See, it differs from market to market. As the, you know, the bidding pipeline is growing, the win rate is also changing quite frequently. Very hard to put, you know, win rate. You know, in certain markets, I can tell you our win rate is 50% plus, and in certain markets it is as low as 10 to 15% also. So on a blended basis, I think roughly we can assume that we do enjoy a 25 to 30% win rate among the bidding pipeline, but that's a very broad generalization. It really differs from market to market.
Oh, okay, sir. So why I was asking this question is basically we've given our 25% growth rate target, but with our order inflow and pipeline, it can be a fair, is it a fair assessment that, you know, we can again outperform our, you know, stated guidance? Because that's the way it's looking with every all the macro factors also, sir.
Yes, it will certainly be our target to outperform our given guidance.
Oh, perfect. Perfect, sir. And so just like with the rates of our margins, we think it on the bottom line we expect a better rate. So could we just you know think of our EBITDA as a gross margin and everything else that slows down EBIT will be, you know, we'll be able to get maybe in FY26 a very higher, you know, profit margin totally because after our CapEx, or how would that work out?
I believe that company is looking at continuous improvement in all margins, whether it is EBITDA margins, PBT margins, or PAT. We don't want to give any particular guidance beyond what I have said earlier right now. However, obviously, with growing revenue and better and better quality contract, more export markets, I believe there is a lot of scope for margin expansion in the coming years.
Oh, perfect, sir. Just one final question, sir. Sir, any kind of risk, like in terms of, you know, like regulatory risk or something that, you know, that can hamper us, our growth prospect, you know, maybe telecom sector or something that you see as a, you know, risk that something that can hamper us?
No, we have absolutely negligible bad debts in our company. So we don't see any kind of risk, receivable risk on that side. Oh, regulatory. I'm sorry, you were asking about regulatory.
Yeah, any kind of, you know, maybe an industry norm change or something on that sort of like, you know, that can hamper us maybe, you know.
Exports, no.
Not really, no. I think all the that there are no reg no no our business, I don't see we any sort of regulatory risk at all.
Oh, perfect, perfect. Thank you so much, sir. All the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rishi Kothari from PI Square Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations on the numbers. It has actually very stellar performance. On the question front, I would like to ask that I saw a point in PPT that the Indian products made from the broad to broader market is developed market, that is North American, Asia Pacific and West African. So it was generally been order coming from the Chinese market and Turkish market. So what exactly made the shift to the players from the China market to the Indian market and specifically to us? Is it because of the product specification that we generally provide, or is it because the market, or is it because, you know, geopolitical reasons that we see around the world?
It's a good question. I think overall what we are seeing that like in most industries, buyers around the world are adopting a China plus one strategy, and more and more customers are trying to move their supply chain away from China. So certainly there is a very strong opportunity for good Indian manufacturing companies to take that space. being vacated by Chinese companies. And I think that's something which we are also benefiting from around the world. So I feel that this trend will continue. Of course, the change will happen gradually. It will not happen very suddenly. But there certainly is a gradual change on the positive side. So we can expect that, yes, more and more of these markets which were earlier dominated by Chinese and Turkish companies will move towards Indian suppliers.
And also, any product specific USP that we generally provide them that makes us differentiate from our competitors generally domestically speaking for any Indian players?
So I think engineering strength is certainly something which is a big advantage for us. We in our company Skipper, we certainly have very strong engineering capabilities of design, load testing and R&D, which our customers really find a big value add in working with us.
Okay. And also, are we seeing any specific demands from different sectors apart from telecom distribution and non-PMD, like for example railway, or any sort of different demand from other sectors? Apart from renewable also, any order book size that we see in the different sectors?
As of now, we are focused on our sectors of power transmission and telecom, and we are working on enhancing our products and services within these sectors itself. Company remains open to entering other areas as well as the opportunity arises. But as of now, we see enough opportunities in our two focus areas.
Okay, yeah. Thank you so much. I'll join the queue.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Co. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Firstly, sir, congratulations for a very good set of numbers and also very detailed set of investor presentation. It covers all the major points and inputs, and we look forward for the continuity of this setup in terms of the investor presentation. So thank you. The team has worked really hard for that. And
thank you.
Yes. And sir, if now for the EPC part, if you could give some more color, what kind of, in which segments do we see the big pipeline getting stronger, and how would the margin profile look like? Are these fixed price contracts, or do we have escalation clause? Some more color on the EPC project, and that's it.
In the EPC side, because of the large amount of opportunities available, because of very good number of bids and projects that are up for bidding, we believe that there is sufficient opportunity to take adequate buffer for fixed price contracts, and certainly that will be the theme going forward.
Okay. So we have booked orders for the water scheme also, I think, with the Jal Sinal scheme. Those are the fixed price contracts generally?
Yes, but those we have only one or two small projects in that area right now. We don't have large projects. Our major projects are continue to be in power T&D only.
Okay. Sir, I think the 200... Yeah. Sir, what would be our capex and how much money we need to... do the capex for the augmentation of the capacity, and how are we going to fund it?
This year we are expecting a capex of approximately 200 crores, and it will be funded through a mix of internal accruals and long-term debt.
Okay, and sir, our cost of fund currently, what is the blended cost of fund?
It's a blended basis, that's approximately 9%.
Okay, sir. And what steps are we taking to lower this in the interest rate part? I think so. We are in a high interest rate scenario, and we are also pursuing capex in order to take advantage of the growth project, the growth in the system. So, how are we going to manage the impact of higher interest rates on the finance cost? Because the absolute number and, yeah, please.
Yeah. I think yeah, it's a good question. So I think as you would have seen that finance cost has come down from earlier 5% plus to now 4.6-4.7%. We see further opportunity for this to reduce as our company's performance gets better. You would have also seen that our net working capital days has gone down. Our inventory cycle has improved significantly this year. So I think operational efficiency will play a certain role in lowering our finance cost, and also on the as the company's performance improves, we are certainly quite hopeful of credit rating upgrade from the credit rating agencies in the coming months. So that will certainly also have a positive impact on the reduction of finance cost.
Sir, last point is on, as you have mentioned, that our focus is on the tower and the telecom segment in terms of the core business vertical. So in terms of BharatNet rollout, does that also envisage the creation of the tower part, or is it only the laying of the OFC that generally will be in the first phase? What would be the benefit for
You're right. BharatNet is largely linked to cabling and OFC only. There is not much opportunity for towers there. However, as I was telling the previous gentleman, that there is certainly a lot of opportunity in new telecom tower rollouts, as we see with the revival of Vodafone India and also BSNL.
Okay, so that will be leading to the replacement one or the new ones to improve the connectivity?
New towers.
Okay, and what kind of capex can we envisage going ahead?
I have been hearing numbers of anything between 1 lakh to 2 lakh towers each for BSNL and Vodafone, but I don't have confirmed information.
Right, sir. Sir, thank you very much for all the detailed answer, and once again, congratulations to the team, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pratik Bhandari from Art Adventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. So just wanted to understand as to what would be the tower testing, in terms of a business size, and how much of it would be in-house and third party?
Our tower testing as a business size actually is not a separate vertical. That is not a separate profit center that we track the revenue. Our tower testing and R&D capabilities basically go towards, our overall engineering revenue. And we do not do any testing outside. 100% of the testing requirement is being taken care by in-house test bed only.
No, sir. I wanted to understand the business side of tower testing. That was my question. And how much of it would be in-house and third party?
You're asking about the requirement of...
As a business size, how do you see the tower testing as a business? So what would be the scale, quantum?
It's about 40 to 50 crores.
40 to 50 crores?
Yes.
And how much of it would be in-house and third party?
It's 100% in-house.
100%
in-house.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ashish Ajit Golecha from Growth Sphere Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations, sir, for fabulous numbers. Sir, my two questions were, first question was, how is the transmission business pipeline looks like for the developed markets, considering US and also with respect to Middle East countries where our focus has been, as you mentioned in the last con call? And the second question is, with respect to PVC pipes business, are we in future basically working towards double-digit margins? And what would be the impact of high metal costs, sir?
Okay, so I have three questions. The first one is about T&D markets globally. So, recently there was an interesting statement by Mr. Sultan Al-Jaber, who is the president of COP28,
And he had given an indication that by 2030 itself, the investment in either outdated or non-existent transmission grids will need to be about $6 trillion globally. So that is just till 2030. And we expect that this investment cycle will continue till at least 2045 before, you know, the world moves towards significant addition in renewable generation. So I see that definitely from the present global investment of about $250 billion or first it will move to about $500 billion and maybe eventually to $1 trillion annually also. So that is the T&D opportunity globally. In terms of PVC margins, we believe that our volumes have grown quite significantly this year by about 30-odd%. It has not translated fully to value growth because of the fall in commodity prices. And in the coming years, certainly, we do expect good growth in both top line as well as bottom line in the PVC business. And yes, we do target that we should achieve double-digit margins in this business in the coming years. In terms of the high metal cost, we believe that commodity prices have been stable for the last 1 or 2 years. And looking at the global scenario, we do not expect much changes in the global metal prices. We expect them to be largely stable.
Thank you so much, sir. Thanks, Atan.
Sure.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rich Patel from Fintrust Capital. Please go ahead.
So actually, my question has been answered, but a great set of numbers. Thanks for the presentation, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on great setup number. My question is, could you show some color on your bid book when it comes to what is the proportion between the T&D, non-T&D, or if there is a sector concentration, like most of the bid book is from the telecom, anything like this, if you could just share some numbers on from your side.
Our bidding pipeline largely constitutes of T&D opportunities only. In telecom, the bidding tends to be for very short term or tends to be for more, rate contract based orders. So we don't really carry a large order book. We don't really carry a large bidding pipeline in the telecom segment, except for BSNL type contracts. And your second question was?
Yeah, that only. I mean, I just wanted to understand if something like, let's say, BSNL has decided to put up X number of towers, and that is quite large considering they have not done much in the past few years. So what would that order, bid book, what would that telecom order set reflect in your bid book? Would it be around 20-30% of the total bid book that you have today in domestic?
So in telecom, our total bid book for non-T&D would be less than 10%.
Okay. So
90% of our bid for T&D only.
Okay. All right. Got it. Got it. Also, sir, if I could understand on the tax rate side of it, we are around 33-34%. If I'm not wrong, it is due to impact of the MAT credits. Are we moving towards a 25% tax rate from next year, or would it be on the similar lines only?
Yes, we are going to move from the current finance, from the new financial year, we are moving to the lower tax rate.
Okay, all right. Got it. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Prathamesh Saluke from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Thank you so much for taking my question. So my question is in the telecom segment. So given the 2 year given the 2-year visibility in this segment, just wanted to know what is our current market share and what could be our peak market share in the coming 2 years.
You're asking specifically in the telecom segment?
Yes, sir. Telecom towers, yeah.
In telecom towers, I believe that we are a market leader and we would have minimum 50 to 20% market share presently.
Okay, and is it really possible to give the market share for other segments as well?
In T&D also in India, you can expect a similar, about a 15% market share.
Okay, and PVC polymer piping?
So that is much smaller. There, you know, we would be not more than 1 or 2% perhaps.
Okay, got it. Yes. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for taking my question and congratulations on the podcast.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gunjan Kabra from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations. Hello.
Yes, ma'am, please continue.
Yeah, hi, congratulations for the good set of numbers. First question is that you just mentioned that so your order win rate is in certain regions is around 50%, whereas in certain regions it's pretty less. So what are the industry dynamics that actually determine our order win percentage? Why in certain regions it's high, in certain regions it's low? If you can explain how the bidding tender works, and secondly, in that only wanted to understand how many typically how many players are there when we actually bid for some orders. So how many players are there in the when we are bidding it?
Right. So you know, as I was mentioning, there's no set ratio of the winnability because it really depends on market to market, and within the same market also, you know, certain projects could see a higher participation from bidders. Like for example, in the TBCB projects, in the high voltage category, we typically see competition from 5 or 6 other serious players in India. So, and in when we are talking about global markets where we are, you know, bidding as a tower supplier, there we see competition from about, again, similar number, about 5 or 6 players. So, you know, the win ratio, it can really vary, as I answered earlier, between 15% to 50%, and there's no real set formula. It will be a combination of the competition, as well as the buyer's inclination, whether in certain foreign markets there could be certain tax advantages that certain other foreign countries have. It could be or maybe about product approvals, etc., and just maybe about the engineering and design testing also. Maybe the other bidders would have participated in the engineering activities for previous projects. So it really is a combination of various factors, man.
So it is not just the cost measure that determines, because I think if we are vertically integrated and we have certain cost advantages, or we don't have any advantages as such.
Well, we do certainly have cost advantages. Skipper is the most integrated T&D player in the world because we are the only company to have full end-to-end integration for transmission towers and poles. We certainly have cost advantages, but then cost may not be the only criteria for decision-making in a lot of markets.
Okay. And secondly, I wanted to understand that if somebody is, you know, if a EPC project is for, you know, the project size is supposed 2,000 crores in the transmission segment, then how much cost is incurred on towers in that 2,000 crores, if you can give a rough idea on how much is spent on towers?
In a typical transmission line project, about 30-odd% is transmission towers. And about 30 to 35% would be conductors, and the rest is other bought out and services.
Okay. And in the substation?
I would not have the exact breakup of substations, ma'am. We are not a very large player in the substation field. We do substation projects, but those are smaller in nature.
Okay. Got it. Thank you so much. And good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again. My question is more on the balance sheet side. I see we are carrying a big inventory of almost 1200 crores in the balance sheet, which is amongst probably the highest in recent years. So what I just want to understand is there any spillover from the execution of Q4 that is resulting in such a big inventory, or is it a general norm of carrying, or is this the average inventory size that we will be carrying considering the 30% 25% growth we have in mind?
Yeah, so on a top line of the about 3300 crores, an inventory of 1200 crores is really not excessive. And if you look at the inventory number of days, in the previous financial year we were at 170 inventory days, but this year we have brought it down to 135. So there has been improvement. There is a further opportunity with optimization in working capital to bring the inventory number of days further, and we look forward to that in the coming years.
Okay, right. Yeah, got it. That's all for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ankit Babel from Shubhkam Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to confirm on the interest cost part. You mentioned that you are targeting some 4-4.5% interest cost as a percentage of sales. So once you do a 5,000 crore revenue, maybe in a couple of years, you know, your interest cost would be in the range of somewhere around 220 crores. So would the interest cost be that high once you do a 5,200 crores of revenue, maybe in FY26?
4-4.5 just for this financial year. In the next year, by the time we hit 5,000 crores, certainly as a percentage, it could be lower.
How much could it be? Because, you know, it's a substantial portion of your expenditure. And, you know, because the major improvement which you are expecting in your PBT margins is because of interest cost improvement. So could you just...
So EBITDA growth will certainly also be a part of our bottom line improvement, and finance cost, we will see improvement, as I was mentioning earlier, firstly because of higher revenue, secondly because of better working capital optimization, and thirdly because of better external credit rating due to better performance. So I'd say all of those will lead to improvement in finance cost as a percentage of sales. I don't have ready guidance right now what it could be possibly in the next financial year. Currently, for the current financial year, you may expect anywhere between 4-4.5%.
Okay, and at 5,000 crore revenue, what could be your EBITDA margins, what you are targeting for the company as a whole, including the polymer and the EPC and the tower business?
I would say that about 10.5%.
10.5%. Okay. That's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dhruv Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Dhruv, please go ahead with your question.
I'm audible.
Yes, sir.
Yes, please.
So, sir, what is the capacity utilization in the polymer division stands right now, and what can be the peak utilization that we can achieve?
The utilization is about 55% in the polymer business, and at the peak, certainly we can possibly go up to 90%.
And in how many times we can? By what quarter or by which financial year we can be able to achieve the 90% capacity utilization, sir?
So I'm correcting that to 75% is maximum utilization possible. And looking at the market growth opportunity, we should be close to that by this year end.
Okay. And after that, are we planning for the capacity addition as well, sir?
Yes. If we are able to achieve close to about 75% utilization, we will be targeting a capacity growth in that division also.
Okay, right. So, sir, my second question is, do you expect any kind of slowdown in the coming quarters due to elections, sir? Whether in the order execution or in the order inflow, sir?
It is possible that, yes, order inflows might be a bit slow in quarter one, quarter two due to election season. But that would definitely be temporary because the bidding pipeline continues to remain very, very robust.
So, any guidelines that you can give, like how much revenue would be hit due to this election?
No, it's very difficult for me to put a number on that. Overall, in the year, we are quite bullish on a very good order inflow. And I'd like to maintain that only. How much quarter one, quarter two is going to be affected, I don't want to really put a number on that.
Okay, right, sir. So the last one question. Sir, like as you can see, your infrastructure division has done very well, sir. Going like from the quarter four financial year 23 to the quarter four financial year 25, there has been almost like 2800 times jump, sir. So how big can you see this opportunity would be going forward, and do you like to see any opportunity in this segment, sir?
I think with the growth of overall infra spending by the government, and particularly the vibrancy in the T&D and telecom sector, overall, look, we maintain our guidance growth of 25% CAGR for this division also. So it's the same growth guidance that we have for the company. We will maintain that for both engineering and infra division.
Okay. So, sir, do you have any plans to make this division as big as we can say for the engineering product or something like that? But like it is just for 5 to 10% of your total revenue. Are you looking forward to have a revenue mix of around 20 to 25% in this division, sir?
I'm sorry, I'm not able to understand your question.
Sir, currently right now, from the infrastructure project, the revenue mix is around 10 to 15%, around 10%, sir, in the overall revenue. So are you looking to expand this division to, say, 20% or 25% of the total revenue mix going forward? Any plans on that, sir? Because I think it is very fixed type of price contract. So I think you would be able to get margins leverage on that.
No, we don't have any particular plans like that to grow the revenue percentage of infra projects. We do infra projects on opportunistic basis, and I believe that long term this will remain about 15 to 20% of the company's top line.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question of the day. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Yes. Thank you, everyone. We anticipate revenue growth in excess of 25% CAGR for the next two financial years, driven by pending engineering contracts and strong performance in the polymer segment. Our focus will remain on improving bottom-line profitability, stabilizing operating cash flows, and reducing debt to enhance the company's margin profile and strengthen its balance sheet position and capital return ratio. KIPPER's commitment to sustainable business practices will continue to contribute meaningfully to national and global infrastructure goals. We appreciate your continued support and look forward to delivering value to our stakeholders. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.